finishes off in style.
Well, this little man is the nearest thing to Bradman there's ever been.
Back to the Nets, the home of cricket. We cover ICC tournaments and domestic leagues of all cricket's powerhouses. Your one-stop shop for games, analysis, scores, and predictions. Back to the Nets.
Welcome back to the Nets, the home of unbiased views. I call it unbiased views, but if you follow me, you will realize that it is a little bit biased. It is towards Indian cricket and Indian domestic structure and what is happening with Indian cricket. So just a little bit of a background. I was running the same channel called Back to the Nets on YouTube as a YouTuber, but I was also talking about Arsenal football back then. Now I've decided that let me just separate these two sports altogether. Cricket will be covered on this podcast on a brand new platform, and Arsenal will be continued to cover on YouTube. So this will be the very first episode, and I am extremely psyched and excited to try this out. So things that I would like to cover today, I would like to talk about the Lord's Test match that's happening. Plus, there's also the Pakistan versus West Indies Test match that is going to start tomorrow. And a little bit of here and there about what is happening with Australian cricket and how this all the big mighty have fallen. So to begin with, let's take our first plunge with the India versus England game. So the first test match, it did not end the way we would have wanted, and nature and the rains took over. And it was then that we, as Team India and the fans of Team India, realized that we do have the bowling strength to get England out twice. England still does not seem to have the batting clicking for them, and it has been the problem with them. It is what we have seen happen with England over the past three or four years, or maybe even longer. Ever since Alistair Cook and Ian Bell, to a certain extent, had retired, hung up their boots, we have noticed that this has been a trend where England, the new output that's coming from the England squad, is focused more on T20, love playing their shots, and all of a sudden we see not the same kind of results in test matches. Now, mind you, England and their domestic structure has wholly and solely focused on limited overs cricket, even with the 100 that's currently going on in England. And if you realize, there's a massive line of talent sitting there when it comes to limited overs cricket. But for people like us who are test purists, we also like to see somebody who's gritting out there, batting for two sessions, trying to go between scoring fast and then going back into his shell. And yes, I know going into a shell is not something that we often like to see, but nonetheless, it's an important part of the game where a batsman just holds one end up. So with that being said, England in the last test showed through Joe Root that he's still a class act and the entire batting revolves around him. But coming into this next test match, Lords passed his past, rain took that test match over from an exciting finish. But from that test match over, when we move in here, quite a few things have happened in the past two and a half, three days. The biggest one being, both teams really docked points for slow over rate. Now, what does that mean? It would mean that maybe we may see one spinner playing from both ends. Now, India did have Jadeja, but considering Jadeja did not really bowl out as much as a genuine spinner would, India would be forced to make a change. Now, they would have had a beautiful headache on their hands with Shardul Thakur, who has performed, who has put his hands up every time India had given him the ball, as opposed to Siraj, who should be dropped. And then, sad as it may sound, Shardul has been detected with not being fit for this game, and Shardul may make way. So Shardul may be replaced by Ashwin. Now, this is, again, speculation at this time. Ashwin, who has revamped his records in the past few years from the Sena countries, now suddenly seems like a viable option and a wicket taker, and somebody who we trust to bowl at least 20 overs at least in a day. He will suddenly be given the ball, and much will be expected out of him. Now let's take a look at Lords. Lords as a stadium has been massively helpful for pace bowlers. There is something about Lords where, you know, that angle of the pitch, which makes the fast bowlers bowl those occasional bouncers, and they just have a different height on where, based on where it has pitched, gives you that awkward bounce. And as a batsman, they tend to get out. If you're not looking out for that, there's that little thing where you will be caught off guard, you will be surprised. So I am hoping that India does continue with Bumrah, who found his supreme form in the last few games. Suddenly, I shouldn't say last few games, but the last few days, suddenly is going to again be the spearhead. It will be interesting to see if Shami plays a part, not Shami, but Siraj plays a part in this test match. And the reason I say Siraj is Siraj likes bowling further up. He's aggressive. He has shown what he has, what he's capable of, and nothing against him. But I think with Shardul sitting out, and we will be one bowler short already, India might think about investing in or bringing in Ishant again just for that extra experience that he brings in. So rather than having two inexperienced bowlers making up that two spot, we bring in Ashwin and we bring in Ishant. Ashwin, as class act as he is, he will be definitely in the game. A, Shane Warne does say that when the ball swings, the ball spins as well. And if Shane Warne says it, I will believe it blindly. But the reason I insist on Ashwin is if you look at the weather that's going to be in Lords, it's going to be somewhere between 35 and 37 degrees over the next 5 days. Now, yes, Cricket England and England ECB has posted pictures of how they have left grass on Lords, but we all saw that when the grass is left on Lords or on any other track for that matter, Indian batsmen or Indian bowlers for that matter are a lot more capable of taking their 20 wickets. So I would say that even if the grass is left, the sun is going to bake this track, and this will be a track where the effect of grass will be limited to the first hour of the day of the 5 days. So with that being said, Ashwin will definitely come into play. And we all know that Ashwin and Jadeja work together in tandem rather than when they are being separated. Jadeja may be a different bowler himself if you see him bowl with Ashwin. So that may see us at least holding the run rate down in the middle overs. Plus the fact that England and their batting are circulating around Joe Root, it will be pretty decent for me if you ask me that the bowlers bowling in a short span might go actually hard at Root when he first comes in. And then we have somebody like Ashwin and Jadeja to bind him down if needed. But again, the plan from the Indian camp would be get all the other 10 wickets and let Root carry on with his bat 60, 70 odd. That will be acceptable and get England wrapped up by 180. England themselves have a precarious situation with two force changes now. Now, the news that we got not too long ago was James Anderson might be missing out along with Stuart Broad in the second test. James Anderson, who's probably the most successful bowler on Lords, will be sitting out. And we saw what he's capable of doing even at the age of 38, 39. So, potential changes for England. We will probably see Wood may come in, Wood may make. You know, Wood may have his chance to have a go at the Indian batting lineup. And we may also very well see someone like an Overton coming in to strengthen that batting order just a touch bit. But that would also mean that England are left with the same problem that they have four pace bowlers now, and they will have to find a way to bring that time down. So that means that for me is all these four pace bowlers will be bowling short spells. And somebody like Moeen Ali, who has been drafted into the second test, will be holding one end up. England, if we remember, went without a spinner, Joe Root being the backup, and he did not really bowl. So Moeen Ali might be somebody who we can see replacing Dan Lawrence. Moeen Ali, now coming out of a rich vein of his form, is also handy with the bat, pretty handy with the bat. I should say he has averaged 28, but nonetheless, we know what he's capable of. And he is definitely one of those bowlers we can see bowling 15, 20 overs in a day. So with that being said, I can see three changes on England side and two forced changes from India, Team India. With Team India, I would say the problem has been in the recent past, their batting. So let's take a step back and see how Rahul and Rohit have actually come together, at least in the first test, and tried to at least see off the new ball. That would have meant that somebody like Pujara, who is again going through a terrible form himself, is, if he decides to stick it out, the ball is not as new. But again, the SG ball does not really make much of a difference in British conditions when there is a cloud. So this could probably be the test match where Pujara could probably find some form, considering he has sun beating down and the ball is not moving as much. Yes, there will be pace, but I think Pujara at this stage is much wary of the pace than with the swing. So I am keen to see how Pujara tackles this issue, and plus the fact that Pujara showed some intent in the last test match. We have not really seen Pujara hit a cover drive on the last ball of the day. And that must have been a clear message to someone like Pujara that, hey, we have our eyes on you, and you're not going to be taking your spot for granted. I think, and that is also the reason why we also see someone like Prithvi Shaw and Surya Kumar Yadav being shipped out to England. It's just, we are breathing down your neck. So Virat Kohli, Golden Duck, but again, he is Kohli. He thrives on this kind of a pressure. I am pretty positive Virat Kohli will step up. There will be the new Virat Kohli that we see. He will put his hands up and he will be coming in here and showing what his value is, and plus getting his name on the Lord board is something that I'm pretty sure Virat Kohli or someone like him would love to do. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Rahane, as the trend has shown, he has a brilliant record when it comes to second test matches. So I might expect some runs from Rahane, who scores at an average of 56 in second test matches as opposed to 23 in the first, third, and fourth test match. I can probably hope Rahane manages to get some runs in this test match. So all in all, I think India will be favorites if they are able to see off the new ball or the first hour of all 5 days if we are batting. That being said, there was again some controversial statement that did come in from Sanjay Manjrekar's court, where he mentioned that Hanuma Vihari should be batting instead of Jadeja. And I personally do not know what he has against Jadeja, but if you ask me, Jadeja at this time and the form in which he is irreplaceable. He adds to all facets of the game. We have probably the best fielder in world cricket, handy with the bat, more than handy with the bat, and definitely handy with the ball. So would love to keep an eye out there. Jadeja does not shy back from answering things back on Twitter. So that will be an interesting next few days, if you ask me. But moving on from India and England, let's talk about the other test match that's happening in West Indies. Now, I know much is being said about Pakistan and the lack of middle order in one-day internationals. But if you look at Pakistan and the test squad, you will be surprised that Pakistan actually has a much handier middle order in recent years than any other country that we can think of in conditions where the ball is not coming onto the bat as fast. So let's take a look at Babar, Fawad Alam, and Rizwan. These three will be, and Asif Ali as well. So these four will be pretty much the backbone of Pakistan cricket. Now, an interesting thing that we have to think about here is Pakistan is also entering the World Test Championship this time around. Now, if you look at the World Test Championship and the teams that Pakistan has to play, Pakistan actually has a really, really good shot of making it to at least being in the top four in this current ongoing World Test Championship. And this is why I say Pakistan has a really good chance. If you look at the teams that Pakistan is playing, they play Australia home. They play two test matches with Australia in home, three test matches against England in home, and two test matches against New Zealand in home. Away, They have to play two test matches against Bangladesh, which they I feel they can easily wrap up. Sri Lanka, two test matches again, they can wrap that up, and West Indies. So if Pakistan manages to win these six matches, I have a feeling, a strong feeling, Pakistan would actually be a part of World Test Championship. Again, yes, if you take a deeper dive, you do know that they have been struggling with the bowling, but Pakistan bowlers, Pakistan is a land of bowlers, and they have always produced probably the best bowlers that we can look back into the past with. So for me, if Pakistan manages to get 20 wickets, I have a feeling Pakistan is, if they manage to get 20 wickets consistently, I think Pakistan is going to be a tough contender for this round of World Test Championship. And I say that because West Indies has for some reason not really picked their best strong 11 for this tour. And for unknown reasons, West Indies has just decided to not focus on test cricket anymore. And it comes pretty, I mean, it is a sad scene if you have been following cricket for as long as I have been, when back in the days we had Gordon Greenidge, we had Richards, we had Desmond Haynes, we had Clive Lloyd, Atherton. Then there was the era with Lara and Hooper, who would graft up their grind. And now all of a sudden there is this new lot who loves to just, who believes in playing leagues and making their money rather than sticking it out for their country. So it will be an interesting chase. It will, I mean, not a chase as such, but it will be an interesting game. I have a feeling, I do have a feeling that Pakistan has all the potential to come back stronger in this. They have the bowling lineup, and for all we know, this is a test where we actually see Shaheen Shah Afridi again finding some of his lost form. So much has to be looked out for in this test match as well. It's not going to be just an easy cakewalk for West Indies or for Pakistan. West Indies also has the batting firepower, and it's one of those squads where you never know which side shows up. So I'm eager to see this test match as well. I will be following this closely. Moving on from there to the Bangladesh-Australia series. Much was said about Australia coming in, not bringing their strongest players, and they were humiliated. Now, I know, but Australia, and being Australia, they will always fall back on, we didn't bring our strongest players, but I have a feeling they were not really expecting this kind of a debacle to happen in Bangladesh. Kudos to Bangladesh. They have squads where the ball holds, the ball grips. Mustafizur was again back to his best, bowling the back of his hand, slower balls. And it is fascinating to see him bowl. And again, it might not be a ploy that will work in any other part of the world, but all teams are focusing on home cricket. And Bangladesh, which was also with their not so strongest squad, managed to beat the mighty Australians 4-1. And I keep insisting mighty Australians. But again, on the other hand, I also look at Australia as a team which has been in rebuilding for a while. So they seem to have the right amount of squads, right players for test cricket. But we don't see anybody else coming in from the bench. Even for T20s, we see all these names coming over and over and over. But again, we do not see that bench. Now they have 6 to 8 teams, I think, in the domestic structure, which automatically tells me that they have, let's say, 16 openers that are currently actively playing cricket. And then there are 8 one down batsmen, 8 two down batsmen, so on and so forth. But it's the same names that we keep talking about. And yes, Australia was auditioning for the T20 World Cup. They had included Swepson. They had included Zampa. Zampa, for me, will be the primary bowler. They had included Swepson, and they had Ellis, who did manage to get a hat-trick. But that was of the last 3 balls of the T20 game, where, you know, it doesn't really make that much of an impact. You look at it as 3 dot balls. So it will be interesting. Yes, it will look like a different team when Finch comes in back from his surgery, or for that matter, when you have the Smiths and the Labuschagnes and Mitchell Marsh, who was in a rich vein of form, and Stoinis, who will be a part of this game. But again, things to worry about for Australia. It's not going to be as easy as we have associated with Australia in the past. And Yes, they have always been proactive. So if you guys are following Australian cricket, they have included Michael Diminuto and Jeff Vaughan to be in the coaching staff along with Justin Langer. So that will be an interesting combination. Let's wait and see what happens with these guys when they're in the squad. But again, big achievement for Shakib. 1500 test T20 runs, and he crossed the 100 T20 wickets mark as well. Probably the first one. Brilliant all-rounder, has performed everywhere. And looking forward to it. Looking forward to him performing some more. Yes, he's a beast when it comes to behavior, but leaving that aside, he is a necessary evil for Bangladesh at this point of time. Moving on from there, let's talk about the New Zealand squad that has been selected for Team India for the Indian Tour and then eventually for the T20 World Cup. They have picked a 15-man squad. And yes, Devon Conway, Martin Guptill, Williamson, they picked themselves up. The interesting person to miss in this squad was Ross Taylor. For me, Ross Taylor was someone that still has tons of cricket left in him. And I was a little bit surprised that he was dropped from T20 format. But New Zealand has the pace bowling firepower. But I am not too sure if Ish Sodhi would be the one who can actually make a difference in UAE. So again, I look at it as any games from now, T20 games from now till the World Cup would be auditioning for the World Cup. And I see Mitchell Santner and Ish Sodhi both being a part of the T20 squad, the final 11. But again, are they quality spinners enough to make inroads on any batting lineup in let's say Sharjah? It will be a batting paradise. Do they have that guile in them to actually make an impact in Sharjah? We don't really know. So speaking of New Zealand, and before we wrap this up, sad news coming in from their camp. Chris Cairns is suddenly in intensive care unit, and he had a pretty bad he had some heart some one of the arteries from his heart was not performing the way it was. Again, not a doctor, I wouldn't want to get too much deeper into it, but he is on life support, and it's people like me who have watched him play. He was a monster. He was way ahead of his time as an all-rounder back then, and we keep our fingers crossed for his speedy recovery. So rather than finishing on a sad note, let's finish on a happy note. We just had the Olympics concluded, and India had quite a few winners: Neeraj Chopra, Mirabai Chanu, Ravi Kumar Dahiya, Bajrang Punia, and the list goes on. But BCCI and Sourav Ganguly, and this is where I call him Dada. Dada has decided to award these champions with prize money from BCCI. Kudos to Dada. This is how the sport grows. And we have an amazing, amazing leader in Dada heading BCCI. So kudos to him. Kudos to BCCI. And once again, congratulations to all these amazing athletes who, with limited infrastructure as we have in India, managed to go up there and get the plaudits. So on that note, thank you guys for listening to me. Thank you so much for coming all this far. If you liked it, please do let me know. This will be a channel that will be available on all podcast platforms. I will be having it on iTunes. Currently, it's on Anchor. And I will take a small video as well to follow up on this. But thank you so much. And I look forward to making some more videos once a week at least to begin with. And let's see how that goes. Thank you. Let your friends know this is a new platform and give it a shot. Let me know how I'm doing. My Twitter handle will be posted along with this video. Let me know how I'm doing there. I am extremely active on Twitter. And again, the channel is Back to the Nets. Thank you so much.